Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knizovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. Also handles the Nashville Predators pre and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Of course, when they're playing hockey, which they have not done in quite some time. Hopefully some better news on that front this week. Darren, Merry Christmas to you and the family. How you doing?
Merry Christmas to you guys as well. By the way, do you have any update? Do you know when I'll be doing the next pregame for a Predators game? Do we know?
I'm hoping it's before 2022, but, you know, at this rate, couldn't tell you.
I know. I think maybe there's going to be a game on Wednesday, but who knows? I mean, honestly, who knows?
This is pretty crazy. I mean, The NHL stuff is what it is. I will say, Darren, I am completely bummed, even though I understand it, that they're not going to the Olympics. This is a really, really depressing time for me. I love Olympic hockey when the NHL players are in there, and I'm bummed out they're not going to be in the Olympics.
Look, I'm with you 100%, and I think people took it the wrong way when I was telling everybody, like, look, folks, it's not going to happen. They're not going, and it's not me poo-pooing the idea or saying I'm against it. I'm not. I'm with you. Like, it's good for us, right? Us watching the Olympics, it's great. Actually, it's great for viewing pleasure, but the reality is the more this thing kept getting – the more games that kept getting lost, it's like this is just – what – because here's ultimately, do they still want to go and represent their country? Of course. Do they still want to get a paycheck here for their current job, their full-time job here? The answer is yes. And unfortunately, that's a little bit more important to them because they have families and money and paychecks are important to them. That's why they do this stuff. It is a business. And, you know, they don't want to give those up. And the further this thing gets away from them, they're not going to play 82 games. Look, that's the other harsh reality that nobody wants to talk about. Like, if they don't figure out a way to start making up these games at some point, they're not going to go until June and then start their playoffs. Okay, they've already said they don't really want to – they don't want to add anything at the end. They're going to try to cram this somewhere in between. Everybody's pointing at February, but it's going to be a little bit more spread out. It's not going to be that entire three-week window. They're still going to get time off. But the reality is if this thing just keeps happening and they just keep postponing games – it's going to be a shortened season again. There's not going to be a place to play your 82 games. So that is a harsh reality that I hope we're not talking about. But if this continues down the path that it's going, there's just going to be no way they're going to be able to cram 82 games in. Just my opinion.
So if the Preds do play this week, and it would, of course, be a Lavi reunion Wednesday and then at Columbus Thursday, What do you think this time off will have done for or against them?
That's a great question, Joe. We're about to find out if they play on Wednesday. I mean, the saying that everybody knows is don't ever get up from the table when you're on a heater, and they were on a heater, and unfortunately they didn't get up from the table. They were forced to get up from the table, right? The casino shut down for a week and then said come back a week later and you can pick up where you left off. Well, that's typically not how it works. You're not going to pick up where you left off because things change. They'll probably give you a different dealer, and things will have cooled down, and, you know, the cards will be different, and the atmosphere will be different, and, you know, it's just not going to feel the same. And so I hope that's not the case, but you know how this works. I mean, we see it all the time in sport. It's not just hockey. It's any sport. You get that, you know, it's like, this is the worst time for a bye week, which rarely is said. But sometimes when you're on a roll, you will hear a coach say, man, this is the worst time to have an off week. Well, and then when you come back, sometimes it's just different. So, Joe, it's a great question. We're about to find out, I hope, this week. But this team was playing its best hockey under John Hines, and now they've been, you know, I can't even remember. When was that game? Chicago on a Friday night? It's been what? It'll be 2 weeks. Well, not quite 2 weeks. So
feels like 10 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit shy of 2 weeks. I guess Friday the 17th was their last game in Chicago. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I hope they can. I mean, they're going to have everybody back, and that's great. But I don't know. I don't know if they can continue playing the way that they were. I mean, they were just like I said, they were playing the best hockey under John Hynes. So we'll see. I hope so.
I hope they have fun reintroducing themselves to each other at practice this week. That'll be a good process to go through before they get back on the ice together. So, Darren, we've talked a lot this morning about the AFC. You've got the Chiefs rolling right along right now. Buffalo, big win yesterday in New England. Obviously, you know, the Colts continue to win and continue to play well. What do you think of the AFC right now and exactly where the Titans fit in the picture after what I've said? Like, to me, it's impossible to overstate what a big win that was for the Titans on Thursday against the Niners to come back and win that game in the second half. What do you make of the AFC as it currently stands?
Yeah, because the Colts are not going to go away.
No.
It's pretty clear. They're not going to go away. I was a little bit surprised. By the way, Arizona's going the wrong direction. To quote the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and show my age, you're going the wrong way. You're going to kill somebody. And nice. That's where Arizona's going. They're going the wrong way. I watched them Saturday night in disbelief. That team is not – they remind me of the Pittsburgh Steelers of last year, right? I know they didn't start off 11-0, but Pittsburgh started off 11-0, and it was pretty easy to see by the end they were going the wrong way too. And I kept telling my Steelers friends who were just optimistic that the switch was going to turn once they got into postseason. I said, your switch is not turning. There is no switch. Your team cannot run the football. Your quarterback is a statue, which, you know, has always been the case. You got problems. You've lost bodies that you're not going to get back. You're not going to win anything in the playoffs. So you can keep saying that, but it's not going to happen. I feel the same way about Arizona. I think their start was, what, 7-0? They're going the wrong way. They just look, and I know they've lost some guys, and maybe they get Hopkins back. And I know that's a big piece not to have on offense, but Kyler Murray's body language sucks. I mean, it's awful. You watch him. Gosh, he is so talented. But, man, his body language is like a 9-year-old. I feel like I'm back at our travel baseball team where I'm always talking about their body language. Like, his is awful. So I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think they're a threat in the NFC at all. You know, Buffalo, two huge wins. One thing I did learn yesterday is don't ask Bill Belichick after losing two straight games what his if he has any New Year's resolutions. That's not a good idea.
Hey, you left the door open to answering that this week, though. I'm interested to see what those are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
– got to re-ask it now.
You know, they say timing is everything, and her timing was not great.
Not good.
Not great. Bill losing two in a row. Yeah, probably not going to get into fun questions. I don't think he's going to embrace fun question time. So that win Thursday night was huge. The AFC landscape, I still think Kansas City's going to be the one. But, I mean, it's very clear the Titans could be the two, and they need all the home field games they can get, right? And who knows, if one gets knocked out, you could have home field advantage throughout. So they got to keep winning. We know that because they're going to have to. The Colts are not going to go away. And probably some of these other teams that we're talking about, they're not going to lose either. So they're probably going to be the two seed would be my guess. And they'll have to live with that, and hopefully they'll get the Keen back.
Well, Darren, what was your primary takeaway from the second half, from what the win means against San Francisco, and maybe even specifically – what do you think it means for this passing game, which has been so rough for so long?
Do you know, Joe, Thursday night was a first for me?
I do.
That was the first time I'd ever sat in the stands for a Titans game.
That's right.
No kidding.
Never. I took my son and my father-in-law, courtesy of Bud Walters, and his tickets, and I sat in the stands. And it was the first, and I didn't know what to expect. I went to every game, every home game for 17 seasons. Never sat in the stands. I've never sat in the stands for a preseason game. Never sat in the stands. I've done other events there, but not a Titans game. And it was different, but a good different, and a different perspective. And it was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, if you'd have told me they were going to win that game in the first half, I would have been on the ground, rolling down the steps, laughing. Because it was awful. I mean, they were absolutely awful in the first half, and they were damn lucky it was 10-0 at halftime. I mean, really, really lucky. Like, it should have been at least 17-0. I mean, they should have been down big, but they weren't, and they got some timely interceptions, and they got some big plays and some bad penalties by San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, 44, how do you say his last name?
Juszczyk.
Yeah, I was down. We were sitting that sideline, and I went. I looked at my son and my father-in-law and said, yeah, if Garoppolo sees 44, there's six. Oh, he's throwing to him. There's a touchdown. Of course, he missed him by 10 yards. Thank goodness. But he was wide open. There was no one around him. But they turned it around. You could feel it in the stands. Some boo birds were out in the first half. But, you know, that interception by Hooker, I felt like everything changed. The fans got back into it. The team got back into it. That was a gutsy win. That was a really good win. I still think the 49ers are going to be a playoff team. But, by the way, if they went out and who is it, the Saints and the Vikings or some of the other team that's right there, and if they went out too, the 49ers are going to be the team left out, which is crazy to think. They still could get left out of the playoffs. But I think they're a pretty good team. I don't think they're, you know, a threat to knock off the big boys in the NFC. But that's probably a team you don't want to face in the first round if they get in. But that was a huge win for the Titans, really, because I sat there the whole game for the first half shaking my head going, what are you doing? Like, what is this? This is your response after the Pittsburgh loss. This is your response at home on Thursday Night Football. The offense was completely inept. And then things turned around. And as you guys know, they came away with a big win, and it was a tale of two halves. And luckily for them, it was enough in the second half to get the win.
Good to see Jimmy G in the Christmas spirit the other night, just, you know, handing out gifts left and right to the Titans as well.
Boy, was he ever. Well, and the 49ers, their penalties were pretty giving, too. I mean, they had some pretty stupid penalties.
They did, no question about
Pushed them way back when they were in, you know, they were in dangerous territory, and because of their stupid penalties, they kept pushing them way back, so that helped, too.
Darren, last thing for you here. We've talked about this a lot this morning, and we've had fans on both sides of this. Let's say Derrick Henry is available for the Titans moving down the stretch here in the next couple of weeks before the playoffs. Is there any chance you put him in the game before the playoffs come around, yes or no?
Me? No. No. That's just me.
Yep.
No. Especially the Texans? No.
Hey, man.
If you can't beat the Texans without him, and I know, you can say, oh, well, you've already lost to the Texans.
Davis Mills is rolling right now, man.
I know. Boy, the Chargers.
Lit up the Chargers.
Ooh, boy, oh, boy. Can you imagine if they don't get in because of that loss? Holy moly. You get lit up by the Texans? 41? Wow. I know. I get it. The Texans have won two in a row. They're feisty. But come on, you gotta beat the Texans without Derrick Henry. So no, me personally, I wouldn't risk it. And you know, tell me if they're vying for that one spot. I don't think they will be. I think Kansas City is probably going to be the one seed. So you're not going to get an off week. But me, no, I wouldn't risk it in the regular season. That's just me. Do you guys differ?
No, I think we're both pretty much with you at that point.
We agree.
Great minds think alike. Three great minds.
I just wouldn't do it. Like, you got to find a way to get it done, right? You got to still accomplish what you're trying to accomplish in the regular season without him, and then you gear him up for January postseason. That's just me. Like, there's just no point in risking anything. Give him as much time as possibly you could possibly give him, and then when it really counts, then get him back out there, and hopefully that creates the spark for the magical run that we'll be talking about.
Darren, I want to see if you agree on one more thing. Do you also enjoy the Saturday Night Live skit, Toons is the Driving Cat?
I am a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 5.
Oh, right, that kind of hurts, man.
I think that's a legendary one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't go all the way with that one.
But you do know it. You know it well.
Yeah. No. I'm lukewarm.
Does it remind you of anyone?
Is it supposed to?
See, now we're bringing Darren in on our inside jokes. I said that Jared is like Toons is because he's like, his takes make sense and they make sense. And then boom, He jerks the wheel, and it's a fiery ball of death and destruction.
I knew you were going somewhere with this. Now the picture is coming in high definition.
That's right.
I see where you're going with that, and now it makes a ton of sense.
Darren McFarland joins us every week, every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on the program. You can hear him on Darren, Donick, and Chase as well. Coming up here in about 45 minutes. Darren, we appreciate you joining us, brother.
Thanks for ending on a laugh. That's good. All right.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
That's right, Peter. Talk about it. And speaking of talk about it, I don't think we've talked about the Titans in 2 months. We just kind of went away from them in December and November, and they're still here. I got the big man here with me in the basement for the holiday cheer. And I'm thinking of these white elephant gift exchanges, which I think we now just call elephant gift exchanges. And the Titans are like the scented candle. They're just sitting there. Nobody's stealing. Nobody's interested in it. Boring. You'd rather go for the dumb gag gift or the scratchers and aren't going to get you squat. The scented candle's been there before. It's going to provide warmth and ambiance and aroma for your family. Take the candle. The Titans are the candle. Let me tell you something. This Tennessee Titans team that we're hyping right now has 10 wins. This team lost to the Jets and the Texans. They were outclassed by the Texans. They were down 19-0 by the Texans. And who gives a damn? Vrabel said it himself. Wait, where's the funeral? No. No funeral. Because as we're all oohing and aahing about the sexy Bengals and the Chargers and the Dolphins, the Titans have scars. They got skins on the wall. They have been there. They've been in fights. They have won fights. And this is the time where everybody says, don't look now. They might have Derrick Henry coming back. No. Look now. Take a look. Because this team is not playing for 10 days. They got a 10-day break. They got 2 games left, probably before a home playoff game. And I think Derrick Henry may be out there. It's very murky if you look into it when he's coming back. But A.J. Brown said after the game, we got the king coming back. I know they're not sexy. I know they're not the coolest thing to bring to your Christmas party. But they're good, and they've been there, and they work. The Titans, like it or not, America, they're here. They're a lady leading.
That was Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football comparing the Titans to the scented candle at the Christmas parties in the Dirty Santa game. What do you think of that? The scented candle, the Tennessee Titans.
Did you just say Dirty Santa?
Yeah, man.
Wow, I actually like that. We did, with both sides of the fence, my side and Katie's side, we did White Elephant, which is what normally we call it. But I kind of like Dirty Santa.
Dirty Santa's better.
I kind of like that. Trying to think, what did I end up with? I end up with crap. No, actually, in one of them, I end up with a bottle of wine, so I'm pretty excited about that. The other one, I got crap. I don't remember what. I got hosed. But that's interesting. The Titans is a scented candle. So basically something that's functional and boring.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fine. Does the scented candle ever win at all?
I don't know. That's a good question. I enjoy me a good scented candle. Let me be honest with you. Good time of year for candles.
I enjoy a nice scented candle. What is the scent? You know, that's another question.
That's a good question.
There's a wide range of scents.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. JC in Gullitsville texting in says, I'm really confused why the Niners didn't try to take out A.J. Brown as an option with double coverage and make someone else beat them. Everyone knew at the end of the game that he was getting the ball. This is coming from JC in Gullitsville.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some times when he got singled up. There were other times. I mean, the TD was, by my view from the press box, I mean, that was a zone coverage. He was bracketed.
Yep.
The ball got, you know, Tannehill's ripped it. I mean, that's what it was. Tannehill ripped it. He was bracketed. He wasn't straight up, you know, doubled. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, go back and say Niners, like, you know, do more to try to take him out of the game. So that's fair. You can always, it's always easy in retrospect, but it's not like they just went man all night and just said, hey, you know, throw to A.J. Brown. They had different coverages. And ultimately, to me, like if I have A.J. Brown, which is, I mean, I think that's a good point you made earlier, and I guess Jared made it. So, by the way, good point, Jared, that it did seem like the game kind of changed on that third and 23, right? Third and 23.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Third and 28, third and 23, where he gets the free play, puts it up, and it is like things took off from there. I mean, to me, whatever the matchup is, I mean, yeah, maybe you don't want to throw in a straight double coverage too much, but I mean, I'm liking his chances to win a fight for the football. And they started going more and more to that.
Well, I said this on Friday with Elijah. I mean, you know, you don't want to get into the habit of just chucking the ball up there, but I would like to see, you know, if A.J. Brown's healthy and they're singling him up, I'd like to see him throw it up and just let A.J. go get it every now and then. I mean, you don't have to do it every time, and obviously, I mean, you don't want to just get in the habit of throwing 50-50 balls left and right, but I think if you're Tannehill, you got to have some pretty good confidence that A.J. Brown's probably coming down with the ball.
Right. So, and this is where I know it's sort of out of sight, out of mind a little bit. I mean, he is actually playing. But, you know, like the Julio Jones, like, okay, he's not going to be any kind of factor. I mean, that's something that I still think he can do too. Even if he can't, take the top off the defense or take a little slant and go 50 yards with it, I still think Julio Jones can go win you 50-50 balls too, you know, and that's something that could potentially be a factor. I mean, I agree with what Elijah was saying in terms of how sustainable is it to, you know, have 16, 18 targets for A.J. Brown and like a target or two for everybody else. You want to spread it around probably a little bit. But then again, man, it's been so long since their passing game seemed remotely dangerous. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, the Bengals are in a position right now to be in the playoffs, win their division, and be, you know, a threat and be a legit team because of their receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, to me, the Cowboys have a chance to make a run because they have multiple playmakers who are just a problem. And when you take that away from a team for weeks, as the Titans have had, you got to be realistic about what they're going to be able to do. It has to be dink, 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 run the ball. You know, third and seven, here's an 8-yard pass. I mean, it's hard to sustain offense in this league that way because you're probably going to make a mistake.
Brian in Portland texting in says, the Texans are going to the next 10 Super Bowls. Davis Mills is by far the best quarterback that's ever lived. Tom Brady, no, screw that. Mills for MVP. Finally, wow. Some Davis Mills respect.
Mills is just a head above the rest.
He's a head above the rest.
Ah, there you
that's
go.
That's good stuff.
I've been thinking that one for a while.
By the way, Charlie Brooks on Twitter at Rumble the XJ. He's the one who sent the tune. We want to give credit for the Toonces.
Very nice.
See if you can tweet that to us, Charlie. That'd be great to put on Twitter. I'd like the whole world to enjoy this, not just our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Very nicely done. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that text line on the Titans and also a big week this weekend here in Nashville with the Music City Bowl. We'll get into that a little bit more coming up next as well. Everybody, I'm here to tell you about my friends at Jasper's. And Jasper's is a casual restaurant and a bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, and a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yeah, I'm talking about free parking downtown. We know what a big deal that is. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar, and you could try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as their delicious cocktails that they have available to you as well. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue. Once again, that's 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are coming to you live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Joe, the AirPods rant earlier in the show already taking display here in your own life. And here we are just less than 2 hours after the Rex rant today.
And so that the Rex rant become – oh, and look, and it happened in real life on the show. Brennan just sent a text. Ayo, yeah, it's AYO, first of all.
Ayo,
huh? Ayo, where are my AirPods at? What? What? And by the way,
beautiful.
He lost them earlier on this trip too. So I just want you to know, like, this is real life. This is a Rex rant of relevance. And man, just ridiculous. And by the way, Charlie Brooks did put the wonderful picture. So that particular episode of Toonses is like, it looks like Steve Martin. And I think, is that Shelley Long in the front seat? I can't tell for sure. But that's a great shot of Toonses as he's realizing that he's yanking the car off the road.
I can't believe I've gone my life without knowing what this is. It's been a very educational experience for me today here on Robbie and Rex Road.
And I'm a little surprised by that. Like, you, I mean, certainly you know some of the other stuff from there. Like, I'm trying to think, like the church lady.
Yeah.
Or, right? I mean, you know some of the, you know, Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's all the same era. But Toonses is kind of a deep cut, kind of a deep cut. So I'm glad we could bring this to a larger audience today. Thank you, Jared.
Yes, we thank you very much. Joe Rexroad, the Music City Bowl coming up this week here on Thursday in Nashville at Nissan Stadium. The Vols take it on Purdue. Josh Heupel and company are in town practicing. I will say, Adam Sparks tweeted out this video yesterday. It's kind of weird. It's just like he's, you know, doing this shot of Vanderbilt Stadium, and all of a sudden you look down and Tennessee practicing on the field over there at Vanderbilt Stadium. So weird in that regard, but this is an interesting game coming up this week for the Vols. I mean, I guess they should be relatively at full strength. Some big news for them over this past week as well. Cedric Tillman announcing that he's coming back and will be playing for the Vols next year as well. So that offense, I mean, you're talking about you've got Hendon Hooker coming back. You've got Cedric Tillman coming back. It's been a pretty good time lately for Josh Heupel.
I think back to early last season, you know, early on, it's like Cedric Tillman's getting like, you know, 5 catches for 89 yards, and he's getting like 6 catches for 110 yards. You're like, so is this just like matchups? Like Cedric Tillman?
Yeah.
Why? But man, I mean, start to finish, he has been outstanding. And that can, I mean, that's like AJ Brown to Ryan Tannehill, man. I mean, that is his guy, and they have a great connection, make big plays all over the field. That's a big deal for the Vols. Yeah, I watched Josh Palmer. You know, I know that's his team had a rough day yesterday, but you watch him play for the Chargers. And not one of many recent Vols who are in the league now, and you're like, gosh, they had some talent still recently.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, Josh Palmer never looked remotely as effective, as productive, as explosive as Cedric Tillman looked this year. And that's surprising because I've always thought Josh Palmer had a lot of talent. But I kind of thought Tillman would probably take it to the league. It's going to be really interesting to see how he's viewed by the NFL eventually. But it is a big deal for Tennessee to have those two guys back throwing to each other, one throwing to the other.
Absolutely. Big deal to have those two guys back. Tennessee is a 4.5-point favorite against Purdue on the FanDuel Sportsbook in this game. Purdue going to have a couple of guys out that are going to be going to the NFL in this game as well. Hopefully, I mean, we're seeing some bowl games get canceled at this point. Yeah. Miami had to cancel their bowl game yesterday when that news came out. So you're hoping from a COVID perspective everything works out this week. But right now the game is on, and looking forward to what I think is going to be a good crowd coming up on Thursday at Nissan Stadium. I'm interested to see, you know, can the Tennessee offense with this much time off, can they keep it going like they were at the end of the season, because they were rolling at the end of the season on offense.
Yeah. Well, one of the big things is you got 3 straight bowl games that of course have been canceled, I believe. Yep. Yeah, Memphis gets canceled. The big thing is, can we have the game? I think, what did they cancel? The welcome party. So the welcome party has been canceled.
Yep.
That was at the Wild Horse Saloon.
Yep.
Which I think was going to be today, but you know, hopefully it gets in. I mean, obviously, it's a big deal to have this game. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a good crowd. I frankly think that Tennessee should win this game comfortably from what I've seen of Purdue, especially because, I mean, David Bell I think David Bell has a chance to be, as much as I love Rondale Moore, a nice slot guy. He's just fun to watch. And I think he's had a nice rookie season. David Bell is like a wide receiver one potential type of guy. And it's too bad that that fans won't get to watch him play. I think with him on the field, this could have been a really interesting offensive type of shootout. And maybe it still will be, but that's taken by far your most explosive offensive player off the field for Purdue.
Yep. Tough to see you on that regard. And then, you know, that's what you run into this time of year with the bowl games. You know, I'm interested to see what happens in this game. You know, Tennessee, if you could finish off the year 8-5 in Josh Heupel's first year, it'd be pretty good. I mean, with the team you've got coming back next year, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think 8-5 is probably just about as good as you could have possibly hoped for in Heupel's first year.
Yeah, it would be nice to finish on a positive note for the Vols. 8-5 is, yeah, I anybody who was predicting this team to end up with like 9 or more was being overly optimistic. And of course, look, all along in the offseason, I thought that they were going to self-impose a ban, and they didn't. So I didn't think there would be a bowl game. So, you know, I also would say, like, if by some chance they lose this game, that would be disappointing. I think they're quite a bit more talented than Purdue. But even if they lost this game, they end up 7-6, I still would call it a good debut season. And I think the excitement for next year's team, I don't think it would diminish too much the absolute destined frenzy about what next year's team could be once we get into the summer.
It's been interesting to see the Vol football Twitter account. They are making it quite clear that they are Nashville's team, doubling down on that stuff, man. Got a lot of reaction on the social medias.
Well, so basically, you are we not at our 60% of talking about Jared? Is that why you brought that up?
It's not, but now that you bring that up, I remember that from yesterday. Now, yes.
All right, let me go find the tweet. Of course, I can't find it now.
It's basically about Tennessee football not moving the needle anymore.
I couldn't go to Twitter yesterday and not see something about this, because obviously if you follow someone and then people are screaming at them, yes, and you see it. So Tennessee tweets out, Nashville's team has arrived, #GBO, you know, at Music City Bowl. Jared quote tweets it, okay, and says, LOL, Vol football has never moved the needle less in Nashville than it does today. And then that, and as you would imagine, because it must have been his intent to just get this firestorm started with Vol Twitter. Because, my gosh, if you know Vol Twitter, you know that's going to start a firestorm.
Oh, yeah.
And people went nuts on him. So, first of all, I want your opinion on that. Vol football has never moved the needle less in Nashville than it does today. You agree?
No, I don't agree. I mean, I will say I think it moves the needle less now than it did, say, this time 10 years ago. I don't think there's any question about that. I think there's a lot of factors for that. Number one, Tennessee's not been very good as of late. I think there's excitement now with Heupel in, and this fan base, as you know, Joe, very large fan base. So I think it's moving back in the right direction. Number two, I just think the city itself is different, right? I mean, there's a ton of Alabama fans here. There's a ton of Georgia fans here. There's a lot of people that have moved here.
There's a ton of Ohio State fans here.
A ton of Wisconsin fans. I mean, they're just there's people all over the map that are from here. So I think from that regard, he's probably right. It's just a different setup in the city right now. I still think it moves the needle quite a bit.
Right. So I guess like technically, because of all the things you just said, their performance as a program and the fact that a bunch of, you know, frankly, a bunch of Yankees have moved here. Let me raise my hand. Go Lions, restore the roar.
Hey, that's right. Joe, come on.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I think that that's fair. So it's not like it used to be when this was a college football state, and it was, but dude, go have an event here. Let's just see. I was there for the Tennessee Nebraska Music City Bowl. I'll tell you something, they moved the needle here. Okay. And Tennessee, I mean, shoot, Tennessee, think about the SEC championship, or it wasn't the championship game, it was the semifinals. Incredible game. Tennessee, Kentucky. Sorry to bring that up, Michelle. Incredible game, incredible win for Tennessee. And normally Kentucky takes over this place. Tennessee fans the orange in the streets was abundant. I mean, it's a stronghold for Tennessee. Let's face it, it is a stronghold for Tennessee. There's a massive amount of interest for Tennessee football in this city. So, you know, less sure, massive still, absolutely. And that statement from him makes it seem like it's like they barely, you know, register here, and there's no way that's true at all.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in. Joe, do you expect Lawan, Saffold, and Davis back in time for the Dolphins game? And where do you think the Titans have the advantage in order to beat the Dolphins? This is coming from Ryan on the text line.
Well, I don't know the answer, you know, on the COVID protocols. I don't know that answer, but obviously they can test out and test back in this week. But you got to remember, too, Saffold was going to miss the last game, I think. No, actually, I think Saffold was actually going to come back, wasn't he? He was going to give it a go.
Yep.
Then he goes on the COVID list. But Lawan was going to miss the last game with the back and back.
That's concerning.
He was walking around really gingerly for a lot of the Pittsburgh game, almost like struggling to join the team on the field. He stuck it out. Got to give him credit for like sticking it out and playing the whole game. But you could tell he had hurt something. So I don't know. You know, today Vrabel talks, and then you get into the normal week of – this is just a normal week where you're going to have your Wednesday injury report and everything. So we'll see on that front. As far as – look, I think the Dolphins have a pretty talented defense that was very disappointing early in the season, and we know all about Tua and the ups and downs with that team. They got some decent weapons. They can make some chunk plays on you offensively. I mean, they don't give you a lot. It's so hard to judge that team because I'm really looking forward to tonight because they have seriously played about as weak a five-game or six-game schedule or five out of six games as you could possibly ask for in the NFL. It's incredible, honestly, that you are going to – you got Panthers, Giants, Jets twice, and Texans, okay? So, I mean, good for them. They took advantage. They won the games they should win. Tonight will, I think, be a real good glimpse at who they are. And, of course, they get screwed a little bit here. They get screwed. They're playing a team that played a home Thursday game and has a mini idle week. And then they are playing a road Monday game before playing that team on the road. It's like if I'm the Dolphins, I'm kind of pissed about how this schedule lines up with the Titans' schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be upset about that too. And I do think – you know, offensively, if you're the Dolphins, this will be a test tonight against that defense. I mean, Ian Book starting at quarterback for the Saints as well. So that'll be interesting. Who would you rather have, Ian Book or Taysom Hill starting at quarterback?
Well, I would definitely rather have Taysom Hill be a lead blocker for me than Ian Book.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather have Ian Book throwing left-handed than Taysom Hill, but that's just me, okay?
Hey, they signed Ian Book. It was reported the other day they were going to sign Blake Bortles, too. So, I mean, could get some Blake Bortles action in the game tonight at some point.
Wait a minute. Blake Bortles is just out there floating around?
Yeah, man.
I thought he was somebody's three.
He started the year on the Packers as the number three and then got beat out by Kurt Benkert. So, yeah, Blake Bortles just been out there, man.
Wasn't Bortles with the Eagles?
He may have been at some point this year. But he's with the Saints now.
Blake Bortles, thank goodness. It's about time this guy got picked up.
Apparently his first name's Robbie, too. It's Robbie Blake Bortles. That makes me feel a lot better.
What?
I'm telling you what Wikipedia says.
You can't break all this Bortles news on me at the end of the show. I don't know even how to process all this. It's fantastic.
Ron texting in says, did you guys check out the Kurt Warner movie? Which movie are you looking forward to the least, the Kurt Warner movie or the Kevin James, Sean Payton movie?
Oh, good Lord.
Two doozies.
Who plays Kurt Warner, by the way? Is it a known actor?
I've seen him in something before, and I can't remember what his name is.
I mean, look, honestly, on both of those movies, if I hear a lot of positive response to either of them, I might check one or both out, possibly. I'm more interested to watch the Sean Payton one because I just think it's hilarious. Like, lovable, tubby little Kevin James is playing arrogant Sean Payton in a movie. Heartwarming, you know, father-son story. I just think that's hilarious. Like, how they even came to that. The Kurt Warner one, boy, it looks cheesy. But, look, cheesy movies can be good, too. So, I'm keeping an open mind.
Look, I mean, Dennis Quaid is playing Dick Vermeil in there. Can't be all that bad.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of looked like him in the clip.
He kind of does. Yeah.
It's kind of freaky how much he looks like him. I'm not out on either one. I lean on Rotten Tomatoes a lot now. But, you know, like for example with the Spider-Verse, which by the way is freaking awesome. For those of you who like Marvel, I would highly recommend the Spider-Verse.
I have not seen it yet. And I need to go watch it. Probably going to be on the to-do list this week.
If you like Spider-Man stuff, it's pretty great.
Going to be an interesting week here for the Titans. Number one, as we brought up there, the COVID issues on the offensive line. Hopefully, that does not continue to be a thing. You know, Vrabel talked about over the weekend wanting the team to go and spend time with the family for Christmas, but also trying to be as safe as possible. So they'll be back in the building today. Mike Vrabel will be talking today as well as they look ahead to the Dolphins coming up a little bit later this week. It's a big one for the Titans. They've got their destiny in their hands right now. In terms of right now, it looks like they could be the 2 seed. Kansas City taking on Cincinnati coming up on Sunday. To me, that's probably Kansas City's biggest chance to drop a game moving here is going on the road to Cincinnati coming up this weekend. I like Kansas City's chances to probably finish out this season undefeated coming down the stretch with the way that they're playing. So probably going to end up 13-4 and the number 1 seed in the AFC. But even without Derrick Henry with A.J. Brown back in there, these last two games, extremely winnable for the Titans as they move forward here.
Yes, but then again, maybe that's bad.
Could be.
I mean, there's no way they were going to lose the Texans, Jets, or Steelers. There's no way they're going to go win at L.A., beat the Red Hot Bills. I mean, shoot, beat San Fran, sweep Andy. I mean, I think at this point we should know, like, just free yourself of expectation and hope for the best.
Yes. I mean,
like, there's a lot of things that are working in the Titans' favor now this week, and you shouldn't feel comfortable. And honestly, I think you're probably right about Kansas City, but if you tell me Cincinnati wins by 17 Sunday, I don't bat an eyelash. I don't. It's just this league is more than ever, I think, and maybe it's recency bias, but more than ever, I think it's unpredictable. And – yeah, there are some factors about that that are different with the game now than there have most of it's, you know, I mean, COVID changes things. And
oh, yeah.
But I feel like injuries, though, have also this league, they've been extreme for so many teams. So the bottom line is, to me, if you're a Titans fan, you should look at your team at 10-5 as the number 2 seed, given everything that's gone on, and be pretty proud of your team.
Yeah, as Kyle Brandt said, they are the scented candle of the NFL right now. Just steady. They've got skins on the wall. They've been there. Nothing flashy, nothing too exciting. But the Titans, the scented candle of the NFL.
And it could be worse. You could be like a kazoo, which is a good gift in one of those games. You know, I don't know who the kazoo of the NFL is. Maybe the Chargers now that they've emitted the awful noise of losing to the Texans.
Hey, right now the matchup would be Titans-Ravens in the first round. Maybe a little revenge from last year. Just an annual tradition of Titans and Ravens meeting in the playoffs.
Of course, if that's the case and you had a fourth home playoff game against the Ravens, how much would Titans fans just be dreading that?
Like eventually that's got to turn, right?
I would think. At some point you would think. And obviously the Titans are fine playing in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, in all seriousness, well, of course, Lamar Jackson, I don't really know where he is on coming back. That's obviously, they become dangerous if and when he does. But boy, that's talk about a team that's been diminished by injury. That looks like an okay matchup compared to some of the other ones you could have.
Yep. Joe Rexroad, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the show today. We'll be back at it at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Merry Christmas. Go try to find my AirPods and hit the beach.
Nice. Very nice. That does it for us today. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.